Thank you, Pastor. We did our best to lose it. I wonder, can we get the lights turned down like they were during worship? Thanks, Dorothy. Good morning, everybody. A couple of Sundays ago was the first Sunday in a long time that I've had some time off. And I knew I was going to be speaking this morning. So while I had a bit of time before church, I decided to write down some of the thoughts that I felt that God had put on my heart to share this morning. And when I finished and I was getting up to leave the house to come over to church, I found myself questioning, maybe even doubting what I had wrote down that morning. And it was the Sunday that Siva was speaking. And if you remember, he shared about faith and about the battle of self-doubt. I think what you'll find, as I shared this morning, there's a common thread. And even with what was shared at communion, which was phenomenal, you'll understand there's a common thread between what Siva spoke about, what was at communion, and what I'm going to share this morning. And we haven't sat down and strategized this. We haven't sat down and put a plan together. Pastor hasn't directed us in terms of what we're going to speak. He's trusted that God would lead us. I think the only thing that we have in common is that we've surrendered ourselves to God and we've asked him to lead us in what we're about to share. So before I get started, I wonder if we could bow our heads and just take a moment to pray. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the freedom that we have to come to your house and praise and worship your name this morning. We're thankful for the reminder that we've had at communion about the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, who paid a price for us that we could never pay. And it's through your grace that we are saved. Father, I ask you to use this empty vessel this morning. Give me the strength and the ability to communicate clearly. But most important, Lord, soften our hearts so that we can hear you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Is that screen working or is it just up on here? Just up here? Okay. So have you ever read a verse in the Bible or maybe a passage of scripture? Or maybe you've heard a sermon or a piece of music? And almost immediately you get it, you get the message that's behind it. You have that light bulb go off in your head and you have that aha moment and you understand what God is speaking to you. And it's a blessing when that happens. But there's other times when maybe you read a verse of the Bible or a passage from the Bible or hear a sermon and you don't get it straight away. And it's heavy and you've got to go back and reread and maybe spend some time in prayer. And over time, you begin to understand what God is trying to talk to you. And in fact, there's a verse in the Bible that kind of talks a little bit about this. And it's Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And it's verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. We all know that when it rains, the ground gets nourishment from the water. Crops grow and plants grow. But when it snows and the snow sits on the land for a period of time, and then over time it melts and the ground absorbs the moisture from the melt, the earth actually gets more nourishment from the snow than it does from the rain. And it's kind of like this with what I'm going to share this morning. That's how this message came about. A few months ago, actually more than a few months ago, Emmanuel was here speaking. And he had a verse from Hebrews on the screen. And later on that week, I was reading back that verse in Hebrews. And for some reason, I wanted to read a little bit more. So I read the rest of the chapter. And I came across a name that I'd never heard before in the Bible, a man called Jephthah. And my curiosity was pricked, and I wanted to find a little bit more about this person's story. So as I read his story in the Old Testament, I didn't get it immediately. And over time, I reread it and meditated on it and prayed about it. And slowly, God showed me the message behind this man's story. And the blessing that I've got from it has been transformational. So I want to talk about something that I believe a lot of us wrestle with. And that's our past. Whether it's things we've done, maybe things done to us, or just labels people have put on us. Our past can feel like a weight we carry. Maybe we faced rejection, bad decisions, or painful circumstances. Anyone know what I mean? But I want to encourage you. God's grace is greater than your past. I want to look at Jephthah's story, and it's in the book of Judges. It's messy, painful even, but it's also full of hope. It reminds us that no matter what's behind you, no matter where you have come from, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what has been spoken over you, God still has a purpose ahead for you. Jephthah's rejection. It's Judges 11, verse 1 through 3. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. Right from the start, the Bible tells us something powerful, that he was a mighty warrior. But there was a but. His family situation was broken. He had no control over that. He was born into a dysfunctional situation. His brothers forced him out, and he ended up in Tob. Has anyone ever had a season of Tob, surrounded by the wrong crowd? How many of us have ever felt rejected? Maybe by family, friends, society. Maybe you have been labeled because of your background, mistakes, or upbringing. But here's what I want us to hear this morning. Your past may explain you, but it doesn't define you. God defines you. Even though Jephthah was an outcast, the Bible still calls him a mighty warrior. Before the world saw it, God already saw something inside Jephthah, the same way he sees something inside of each of us. Before the world labeled us, God already called us his. The psalmist Davis talked about it in the Psalms. He says, "While I was still in my mother's womb, you knew me." Your past doesn't define you. People may reject you, but that's not the end of your story. You're not disqualified because of your background or mistakes. God specializes in using people who have been counted out. David, Joseph, Moses, and now Jephthah. God calls Jephthah. Later in the story, Israel finds itself under attack. And who did they turn to for help? Verse 4 through 6. Sometime later, when the Ammonites were fighting against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. "Come," they said, "be our commander, so we can fight the Ammonites." Jephthah said to them, "Didn't you hate me and drive me out from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?" The same people who drove him out are now begging him to come back. It's amazing how God has a way of bringing things full circle. And at first, Jephthah questions them. And after a bit of back and forth, he agrees to lead them. Your past can't stop God's purpose. Even if people push you away, God will open the right doors at the right time. The same people who rejected him were now seeking his leadership. Jephthah wasn't looking for leadership, but God had already chosen him. The rejecting Jephthah experience prepared him for this moment. The hard times we face are not wasted. God is using them to shape us. Jephthah could have held on to bitterness, but instead, he stepped into leadership. If you want to overcome your past, you must be willing to let go of resentment and walk in God's purpose. So Jephthah accepts the role of leader. And in verse 29, something powerful happens. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. He leads Israel into battle, and by God's power he wins. This is the same guy everyone doubted, rejected, pushed aside, but when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, everything changed. Despite his past, God's Spirit was with him. God gives him the victory. God will give you the strength to overcome. When God calls you, he gives you the strength to accomplish what he asks. Jephthah didn't win because of his own ability. He won because God was with him. It wasn't Jephthah's past that defined him. It was God's power working through him. If you want to overcome your past, you need the Holy Spirit to lead you. The people who once doubted Jephthah now saw God's hand was on him. They witnessed God working through him. When you trust God, he will make a way for you. Around this time last year, I think most of you will remember Jay and Fiona Fallon were here with us for a time. And you may not know that Jay really likes his coffee. And I roast coffee, so he used to get coffee from me, but it allowed me a chance to get to know him a little bit outside of church and spend a bit of time in his company. And one day we were having lunch around this time last year, and we were talking about everything. And he asked me if this, what I'm doing this morning, is something that I want to do. And I was really, really honest with him. I told him it's not because of my personal circumstances, my past, and it's not something that I'm really good at. And as we sat and talked, he reminded me of the story of Jacob in the Old Testament in Genesis, who wrestled with God for an entire night. And the next day, Jacob was left with a limp for the rest of his life. And Jay explained how, in some ways, that limp is similar to our past. It's a reminder of the struggle, of our weakness, and our total dependence on God. It's recognition of God's power rather than our own strength. And it represents the end of Jacob's running from his past and the beginning of a new life fully surrendered to God's will. You see, I don't aspire to do this. I'm not banging down pastor's door and asking him for speaking time. And that's not because I'm nervous. It's because I know what I'm good at, but more importantly, I know what I'm not good at. You see, I worked for 20 years for one of the largest medical device manufacturers in the world. I led the commercial side of the business in Ireland, and I was very good at my job, but I was even better at avoiding having to stand up in front of people and speak. So if God's not in this, if he's not with me or giving me something to say, I've got nothing of importance or value if it's just me. It's just noise. So I do this in obedience and in total dependence on God. I'm going to share something that's not in my notes because I'm still trying to process it. And the reason why I want to share it is because the first song we sang this morning was "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." A couple of people will know that for the last maybe 2 years, my eldest son has really struggled with depression. And it's been a really, really dark time. And if you care about anybody and you see them going through something like that, it's really difficult for you to sit and watch. And as a parent, something that I never really thought about or considered was the guilt that you feel when someone's going through that, and how you question yourself, everything that you've done, why is this happening? And in the end, that guilt was turning into frustration, and it was causing a real conflict between the two of us. And so maybe 6 months ago, maybe even longer, maybe a year, I just surrendered it to God. I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. And I asked God to take control. Last night, we went out for a walk with the dogs, and I could tell something was different, something was up. But we kind of just chatted a little bit and brought the dogs in, and I went upstairs to look at the last couple of slides and really just make sure I was ready for this morning. And I came back downstairs to get a drink of water before I went to bed, and he came out of his room. And I was just getting ready to say goodnight, and he said, "Dad, I want to get baptized." It was like the walls of Jericho fell. It's like that song says, the battle belongs to the Lord. And it is a battle. It was a battle for me to come up here this morning. The Apostle Paul, he speaks about the battle that we face, and he compares it to wrestling. And if you've ever watched Romo Greco wrestling in the Olympics, it's arm-to-arm combat. And that's what we face every day. It's a spiritual battle. You just have to look at the world outside to see the war that's going on. And I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about spiritual war that's going on outside. But we're not empty-handed. In Ephesians, Paul also mentions the full armor of God. And the last two things he mentions is the helmet of salvation to safeguard our mind from doubt, from deception, and the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is defensive, but it's also offensive in spiritual battles. And I'm sure it was a battle for Jephthah, who we were reading about in Judges. But his story wasn't all sunshine and roses. There's also a warning in that message. Jephthah's mistake. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." Jephthah made a rash vow in a moment of desperation, not realizing the consequences it would bring to his family. He probably never imagined it would be his daughter who would come out of the house to meet him. It's a tragic part of the story. Some believe he followed through. Many others believe she was dedicated to the long service at the tabernacle. Either way, it's heartbreaking. But how many times have we found ourselves in a situation and prayed, "God, get me out of this and I'll do X, Y, and Z"? Be careful with our commitments. Emotional decisions often lead to regrettable commitments. Trusting God's provision does not require desperate bargaining. Let your words come from a place of trust, not panic or pressure. Seek guidance from God. Even though Jephthah's story had a painful ending, his faith was still recognized in Hebrews 11:32. As an example of great faith. And that's where I first read the name Jephthah, and this whole process started. This shows us that even when we make mistakes, God's grace is bigger than our failures. So, to conclude, overcoming your past with God's help. People may have walked out, but God never has. Your past might be part of your story, but it doesn't get to write the ending. Victory isn't about being strong, it's about being surrendered. Let your passion for God be guided by prayer and wisdom. Let me close with a passage that lifts our eyes from our past to our purpose. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Church, this is what we were created for, to worship God, not to live in guilt, drown in shame, and not to stay stuck in discouragement. Guilt, shame, and discouragement are the enemy's tools, meant to distract you, disqualify you, and disconnect you from your purpose. But you were created on purpose, for a purpose. And that purpose is to give glory to the one who sits on the throne. Don't let your past hold you back. God hasn't finished with you yet. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, I'm going to ask if you'd come and close in prayer and dismiss us. And I just thought of something. I've never shared this with anyone before. When I was about 13 or 14 years of age, so almost 40 years ago, would have been around 1987 or 1988. How many weren't even born yet in 1988? It's a long time ago. But I remember, it must have been summertime, I was coming home one evening. It was around 7 o'clock, and I was walking in through the gates of my parents' house. And as I was walking in the drive, my dad was walking out and getting into the car. And we greeted each other, and I said, "Just in passing, where are you going?" And he told me he was going down to a prayer meeting in Jerry Dunphy's house. Jerry Dunphy, the name didn't register with me. It didn't mean anything to me at that time. And it wasn't unusual for my dad to be going out any night of the week to a prayer meeting somewhere in Ireland. But Pastor, who'd have thought? Three or four people sitting around Pastor Jared's kitchen table, it would end up with this.
Indeed.
You know, I'm sure there were times between now and then that you doubted, maybe felt discouraged, maybe were even labeled as crazy for what you were trying to do.
By my family.
But because you and Pam surrendered yourselves to God,
yeah,
and were allowed yourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, look how faithful God has been.
Amen.
You know, if you want a living testimony of what I've been speaking about this morning, here he is. This church is a living testimony of what God can do. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, David. You know, David, you may doubt yourself and your preaching ability, but I could listen to you all day. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.